You may ask, how did people survive when the bottom falls out? What skills did they need to make it work? And how did they rise from the ashes?
On this show, we help offer some answers to those questions and more because you've landed on Rock Bottom Survival Skills, John Eldon Gibbons and Teresa S. Landry.
We invite you to follow Rock Bottom Survival Skills on our web pages, social media links, book offerings, YouTube channels, podcast locations, and on-demand TV programs via Roku, smart TVs, and devices. For more information, check the links below. We ask and appreciate that you like, share, and subscribe to our content. Views expressed on this podcast are our opinions and based on our personal experiences and are not meant to be professional, financial, or legal advice in any way, shape, or form.
Hi, this is John Eldon Gibbons, and today the topic we're going to cover is radio needs, question and answer period. So during a recent weather event, the grid was down in our area. We had, somewhere around 7,000 people without power for about 8 hours or more. One of the things you have to ask yourself in a situation like this is, what are the top priorities? And especially for those people in the area, what was their top priority? And this includes myself and my family. Well, number one on the list is really information. No one can make a decision without knowing what is going on around you. And some of the questions that you may want to ask are, how long will the power be out if there's a power outage? Do I need to set up emergency gear if I've got it staged or if it's stored away? Do I need to go out and get it if it's only going to be a few hours? You're probably going to want to ride it out, not worry about it. Do I need to go to a shelter? I mean, if you're in a situation where you have a hurricane bearing down on you, it may be far different than just, well, my power went out for a couple of hours. Is my home already isolated from outside services? You know, for example, the grid. Am I worried about other communications? Do I even care or notice that other people are without power? And it's not really a question of the harsh reality of or a coldness that my neighbors aren't, you know, prepared. It may be that you're set up in such a way that you really don't miss a beat. If you run completely on solar or off-grid, you may not even know that the grid is down. Cell phones and or internet may be down or shut down. Short period of time, long period of time, what kind of communications will you get? How will you move forward to make contact with others? And there are other needs that, not really in any real order, you know, are we in a situation with physical safety, weather, civil unrest, medical emergency? How's the heating and cooling where you're at? The water, the lighting? Do you have enough food? Is there a way to cook that food? Refrigeration for long periods of times, medical needs. Do you have medicine on hand? Can you get a hold of it? What about fuel? If you want to take a vehicle out, you may find that, and we've had this happen up in our area where we had an ice storm and the power was out and there was no way to pump fuel at any of the gas stations. They didn't have backup generators and there wasn't any way to get the fuel out of the tanks. Do you have backup power systems or temporary power systems, two-way communications like the internet? What if they go down? You know, cell phone towers don't always work in a bad situation. And we see this a lot when the lines are jammed. There's so much volume that they kick everybody off of those particular systems so that they can use them for emergency. Who is they? Well, government agencies. Also, if you're using, say, something like a satellite phone, if you are not a prime user, in other words, there are levels of users on satellite phones, you're going to get kicked off the system if you are a lower paying customer. That's just the way they work. So the high end users who are paying, say, $100 a month or more, will get first priority on that system if it starts to get jammed up, and they'll knock you off if you're, say, a $60 user. Now, those numbers aren't exact. I mean, it can be a lot more than what I've said, or it could be less, depending on your system. And there are ways and workarounds for that. Also, do you have a form of charging your cell phone? Now, that could be your car, but again, we get back to the gas situation. Do you have fuel for that? Taking action to preserve what you own, or getting the things you need. Those are things that you want to know. But all of that can really depend on information. These needs can vary on the household, health, age of the person affected. It can also depend on the disaster or emergency each person faces. So what we're going to talk about today is only going to address one-way communication and information gathering. We're only talking about receivers here for emergency and general use. So I want to throw a couple of definitions out. We have radio receivers, the radios that you listen to, like your favorite FM or AM station, AM/FM station in the car. That's a perfect example. Radio transmitters. This is a radio that you can talk on, transmit to someone. Radio operators, in most cases, have two radios. They have one for transmitting and one for receiving. Now, these are a high-end, what we call somebody like a ham radio operator. But what about something like a CB radio? Well, that's considered what's called a transceiver. It has both a radio for receiving and a transmitter all in the same unit. Citizen's band radios, CB radios that operate on 11 meters or around 27 megahertz with 40 channel access are a good example. Now look, that sounds really like, really? Do I really need to know all that? Not really at this point. Again, we're only talking about getting information. Some of the other things you could have would be something like a scanner. But primarily, all we really need to know is what's going on in our area. And the best way to do that, and that's what we're going to talk about right now, is to have just a standard AM/FM radio with something called WX or weather. And this can provide a minimum safety net for getting information. It may be as simple as using a car or a truck radio, which in most cases will not have a WX weather channel band on it. And that those WX or those weather bands are really come from NOAA, and anybody who's a boater is probably familiar with those. But you can buy some basic radios for anywhere from $30 to $40, and sometimes less, that have a built-in weather band, and they even have an alert on it. You press a button and it will start strobing off in the middle of the night at 2 o'clock in the morning. Ask me how I know, because it wakes you up. But it's good to know, because if you have high winds coming to the area, you may have possible hurricane, tornado situation that you weren't aware of, it will help to warn you. The problem with this is a lack of convenience and lack of portability in your car, right? So if we're looking at a car radio, it also requires exposure to the outside regarding safety. So if you're going to go to your car, and depend on your car, you may have to leave your house or your shelter. And no one should leave a safe shelter area to go listen to the car radio or charge a cell phone in the middle of a hurricane. Its fuel is limited, the car, and you may have a problem getting gas if you need to refuel that vehicle. Some of the new emergency radios can also aid in charging your cell phone. That's a cool feature they have. The internal batteries can be charged with like multiple ways, solar cranks. You can have a They can be charged in multiple ways. You can use a built-in solar panel. They can be cranked so that there is a generator in there that will charge the battery as you turn the handle crank. AC or DC power supplies, such as your car, if you're on the road, can charge it. Also, if you have a battery pack or something of that nature at home, well, then you can charge it up with that. And you can buy these small battery packs that you can keep charged, and those can be used to charge your cell phone or to bring a radio like that back up. And here's another thing. People say, well, you know, I have my phone, and all I've got to do is put it on, you know, all I got to do is pull up the internet on it because it's a smartphone. Just remember that it is possible that those towers that your cell phone runs off of may not be available in a time of a real emergency. You've either been shut out of them, they may be broken, there may be a power problem for them. All of these things can happen in an emergency situation. Now, we'll tell you, there are plans in place where if there's something like civil unrest, you can just about guarantee they'll probably shut the towers down. One of the cool things about these radios are you can also get something additional bands. And radios can receive local news and information as well as worldwide news and information. Now, you can ask yourself, well, do I really trust the information coming through? That's up to you. I mean, you got to take everything into consideration given the time frame and what's going on around you. Reporting may seem like it's not very beneficial, but especially when you're talking weather events, it's much better to know what weather is coming as best as they can. I mean, anybody who's been watching the weather reports will realize that sometimes their models just don't work right. But you know what? Any information is better than no information in an emergency situation. A weather band setting can be automated, as I said. One night in our yurt, the radio started setting off an alarm around the sign. It sounded like a burglar alarm, okay? And it just scared the heck out of us at 2 a.m. in the morning. And the alert was for high winds. It gave us time to decide what to do. We have sustained 70 mile per hour winds with really no problem. The night it was going on, the alarm was going on, it was around 60 mile an hour winds, I believe, at the time. And so we wrote it out and we figured, okay, we've already been through this, so at least we had that information. I've lived through a microburst that uprooted trees and destroyed an outhouse while camping. And I'll tell you what, it sounds like a freight train coming through. And that came with no warning. What saved us? The microburst followed a creek bed and tore up a state-built lean-to and outhouse because a tree fell on both. We were camped above this area, and our program had actually helped build that overflow camp area. But it was up on a hill. It was up on a bank, and it was away from this creek bed. Well, the microburst had followed the creek bed. It just tore up, tons of trees in its path. International news and information can be had with shortwave one or two radio selection if you have a shortwave radio. Each selection has to do with the wave propagation and atmospheric interference. So that's a fancy way of saying a way that the antenna can reach different locations that are not close by. And the atmospheric has to do with the fact that the sun can interfere with listening to radio programs because of the way in which waves bounce across the earth. And you can even get something called a weather fax, which if you hook it up to a laptop, you could actually see a report from the radio as an actual printout of what the weather in your area looks like. This is used a lot by people who are at sea, sailing vessels, and you can pick that up on a regular shortwave band. It's transmitting constantly. These settings will not give you the WX stations from NOAA particularly, but they will. You'll need a different kind of radio for that setting, but you can get the weather facts. If it sounds confusing, it really isn't. Again, just stick with AM, FM with some form of a weather selection, a weather channel selection. Just to kind of wrap up the whole shortwave thing, basically shortwave one is used a lot during the nighttime. Shortwave 2 is best during daytime hours. And you can pick up places that may be thousands of miles away. And in many cases, they're going to be in foreign languages, or you're going to get English-speaking channels that are really something like Voice of America. And Voice of America is broadcasting into foreign countries. And they'll give you the news, they'll give you weather updates, and they'll give you the state of what's going on. But it's filtered through the lens of a government. You can also get things like the BBC, British Broadcasting Corporation. One last area that I want to talk about is something called the SDR, which is a software-defined radio. This is like, basically, it's a little USB dongle that plugs into a laptop. It can also be used on your cell phone. And there is software that will allow you to convert radio waves with an antenna that can hook up to this dongle right to your phone without any internet requirements. All right, you don't need the internet. What you need the internet for is initially to download the app or the software that goes with it. And then you can just tune in the frequencies as though you would a regular radio. It basically turns your phone or your laptop into a radio. It can also be used for television, by the way. They have different ones. Some of them are just for TVs. Well, anyway, that's kind of a wrap-up right now, and I want to give you a couple of radio ideas. Midland Radio makes some emergency crank radios. You've got also something called a Voyager, which I like, which is a different company. Akato, I believe, is the manufacturer of that. You have Eaton. They make a lot of great radios. You don't even have to buy anything that is... You don't have to buy anything, as I've stated, as far as a specific kind of radio. Any good radio that runs off of batteries that you can receive AM and FM with is a basic start. Now, some of these other radios that I was that I'm talking about have built-in lights. They have built-in charging ports. They have multiple ways to charge them, so they are emergency radios, and they also have the built-in weather stations for NOAA. Some of those are shortwave, some aren't. And that's really what you need to look up is emergency radio, and you can find a lot of choices out there. There's a lot more information about this, and if you want to come to the website, woodfolks.com, that's woodfolks.com, you can check out my blog, and I have a lot more information there that I'll give you a hand on choosing one of these radios. It'll also give you a lot more information than we have time for today.
So for right now, that's all the time we have today for this podcast, but join us for the next podcast, and we're going to continue this conversation. I'm John Eldon Gibbons with Teresa S. Landry. Thanks for tuning in. We are so grateful for you joining us today, and we have to say thanks for your continued support. It's time to ask yourself, what am I waiting for? Because it's time to live deliberately. Your journey can start now.
Rock Bottom Survival Skills is intended for informational purposes only and is owned by Mustard Sprout Media of Wyoming.